Well, this is a real impressive Seattle team. I've been watching here in the last couple of days. The things that really jump out are their overall playmaking ability, kicking game. They return kicks, they block them, they cover them. They're leading the league in kickoff returns, leading the league in kickoff coverage. Really have a lot of players that are very impact type guys in the game, with good specialists. And defensively, big in the secondary, probably the biggest secondary in the league, big corners, physical, fast linebackers, real active front. They play a lot of different people up there, but they're all playmaking type guys. Really been impressed watching Bain, Bryant, Irvin, of course Clemens, Allen Branch, Jones. So they're a real good group, and they take the ball away. They do a good job of stripping it out. It's not just sacks and a bunch of three and outs, which they have a lot of those, but they also do, like I said, a real good job of stripping the ball away from quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, anybody's got it. They're fast and they're long. And, you know, offensively, it's an excellent group of backs. They run the ball a lot. They run it well. Finch, Turpin, he's been impressive. Leon, of course. Michael Robbins does a good job for him at fullback and in the kicking game. You know, he's an excellent player. And they have good skill players. For Sidney Rice is, you know, a go-to guy for him. Eight, dangerous. Eller, boy. Evan Moore, we saw him at Cleveland. We had trouble with him a couple of years ago there. And they got Moffitt back on the offensive line. Just a little more solid group in there. And of course, the quarterback, you know, Wilson's an active, mobile guy that's our guy to contain. And he keeps a lot of play alive with his scrambling and athletic ability, and they run plenty of quarterback move plays with him. Bootlegs, pull out plays, like that. So, team that we don't know very well. A lot of new players, young. They're young, but they're good. They're talented. We really have to work hard this week to get familiar with their schemes and their players, and be able to do a good job against them. They have a lot of tough guys to match up against. So that's our deal this week.
It'll be on the players involved. Seattle is known as one of the more difficult atmospheres to travel to. In your experience coaching there and coaching against the Seahawks, do you sort of see that similarly, or is that sort of...
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. I think that's... might be the loudest stadium that we've been in, and we're in a lot of loud ones, but I'll put that one right up there. Their fans are vocal. It's really loud. When we were out there before... 4 years ago, whenever it was. I forget what their record was, like 2-10 or something like that. It wasn't very good. And, you know, there was a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and it's a great atmosphere for football. Crowd's totally into it. They, you know, they do a great job of being loud, causing false start penalties, things like that on the offense. Seattle's historically played very well at home. You know, it's a huge home field advantage for them, record-wise. Their record at home has been amongst the best in the National Football League, really. They're right up there with, I want to say, the Packers and the NFC. So, absolutely, that'll be another part of the big challenge for us, the long trip out there, and then the environment, the hostile crowd that we'll be facing. Yes, all that certainly part of the whole preparation and Seattle week.
Bill, obviously takeaways are very important to you. I'm just wondering if is that something that you kind of look at as a bonus? It's out of your control, so to speak, where maybe like third down defense, you have kind of some input into how the play is going to go, or turnovers, can you actually generate them?
You can definitely generate them. best Seattle does. I mean, I think they do it as well as anybody. So certainly there's turnovers come in different categories. Some of them are just mistakes by the offense that the defense doesn't really have anything to do with, like fumble snap or a pass that goes off the receiver's hand. Just gets batted up in the air, and you know, it's an easy interception. But the defense doesn't affect it. And there are other plays that where the defense does affect the play, that they read the quarterback, jump the route, strip the ball from the runner or receiver, who's obviously trying to hold on to it, but you know, the defender's alert. And if they don't put pressure on the ball, if they just tackle the guy around the leg instead of trying to get the ball, then those aren't going to be fumbles. So I'd say there are a lot of, not a lot, there's, you know, there's a number of opportunities in most games for the defense to at least get the ball out. And whether you recover it or not, that's another part of the play, but at least get the ball out or put pressure on it. And that includes tip passes and coverage and stripping the ball from the runner and the quarterback and all that. So it's an awareness of those opportunities and then taking advantage of them when they occur, which isn't on every play, but they do have. But then, you know, there are some turnovers that are just unforced, and those are just sloppiness on by the offensive team. Whoever it is, just losing the ball. And the defense doesn't cause a turnover. That's just bad offensive execution.
I'm assuming you like where your team's at right now with regard to takeaways.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's Seattle. You know, it's what happened this week, and hopefully we can be on the plus side of the turnovers against Seattle. That's hard to do. They do an excellent job of taking it away, and they do a good job of protecting their backs. Really run hard. They get a lot of extra yardage, and that's often a time when backs will be less protective of the ball because they're struggling for those extra yards and trying to break tackles and all that. But not these guys. They run hard, break tackles, gain extra yards, and don't fumble. So, and we'll see how it all plays out Sunday. But yeah, just because it happened in a couple other games, or did happen, I don't think everybody beat anything Sunday.
Bill, you've talked this year about running backs and the difference between the good ones, maybe the great ones, is the great ones are the guys who can get beyond what the line blocks for them. Seems like Marshawn Lynch breaks the tackle every time he touches the football. Is he one of the better backs in terms of getting his own yardage?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I would say Leon Washington's in that category, too, as a returner. The number of yards that he gets after contact is very impressive. Whether he runs through a tackle or whether he just uses his quickness to make the guy who should make the tackle miss him. But yeah, Lynch is that outstanding. He's got great feet, good balance. He's a powerful guy. And not only there are times where he does get tackled, but a lot of times it's with 3 or 4 extra yards because of his good pad level and his ability to maintain his leg drive through contact. By the time the defender gets him on the ground, it's, you know, it's an extra 2 to 3 yards that Lynch has created on him. So, yeah, absolutely. He's one of the best. But I'll say, you know, they have different styles, but when Turbin's in there, he makes a lot of yards, too, on contact and avoiding guys and all that. I mean, if you're not really studying the backs, you're just kind of watching them. It's, I don't want to say can't tell them apart, but both guys run hard. Both guys make yards after contact. Both guys are very good runners, and so is Washington. So it doesn't really matter who's in there. That all those guys are, it's a very good group, which is why they run it so much. One of the reasons, I mean, they're giving the ball to a really good player. Who would they give it to?
So I was wondering what your thoughts were on height as it pertains to the quarterback position.
As far as
important, unimportant, overrated, underrated.
Well, it goes along with a lot of other things. I mean, there's plenty of, you know, guys that are good quarterbacks, the Drew Breeses of the world, that aren't 6'4". there's some very good quarterbacks that are up in that range. I mean, I think it's a lot more than that. Is it a positive? Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's really much negative about it, although generally speaking, you know, shorter guys are a little quicker than taller guys at every position, generally speaking. But it's like anything, you give up something to get something. But the decision-making and throwing mechanics and accuracy are a lot more important than height.
Seems with you, I mean, you've had guys, Brian Hoyer wasn't gigantically tall at 6'2", and Flutie was on the team. And then you've had the other end, the Testaverdes and Tom. You just kind of look at these guys individually and then not try to make, I guess, ignore people because they're undersized.
Well, yeah, we don't ignore anybody, based on their talent and their production. We certainly recognize that there's a, I would say a size, there's definitely a height, weight, speed standard at every position in the league. We've studied that, as I know every other team in the league has. So whatever position you want to take, whether it's left tackle, right tackle, guard, quarterback, anything, there's, you can look at all the players that play that position, all the players that start at that position in the league. Take an average of those numbers and, you know, you're going to get a pretty good idea of what the consensus at that position is in terms of height, weight, and speed. And then there are exceptions to that. So there are players that are below their speed deficient. They're below the speed standard. They're below the height standard. They might be below the weight standard. Doesn't mean they're not good football players. But then again, when you take into consideration the overall percentages, I mean, there's a lot more big, strong, fast players than there are, short, small, slow ones. But there's exceptions to everything. So our thing is always to try to evaluate the guy as a player, not just look at his just strictly his height, weight, speed. Although we're certainly aware of it, but that's not the final determining factor. It's how good of a football player is he, or how good of a football player do we think he can be? But certainly, if you can find a guy that's a good football player that physically has at least the average or hopefully above average measurables relative to everybody else since his position in the league, then, that's, I think, going to improve your